the sin of the golden calf not only affected a blemish in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it affects the unity and our awareness of the unity of God, God's oneness, because it splits up into other powers or whatever, and addressing other powers, so you don't see that total unity of God. But the unity of the Jewish people and the unity of God go together. Ata echad, the shimcha echad, you're one, your name is one. Umika amcha Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz. And who's like the Jewish people that are one nation in one land? So when we are not unified under God and we don't recognize His unity, it affects the unity of the Jewish people also. And therefore, because that was a result of the sin of the golden calf, we needed to correct that. And the Mishkan, which was the unifying force of the Jewish people, gave us something to unite around. So, and that was a part of the kapara, of the atonement, of the sin of the golden calf. In order to build the Mishkan, the Jewish people had to be reinforced and strengthened in their achdus, in their unity. And therefore, on Yom Kippur itself, Yom Kippur itself is a day of unity. First of all, it's the day that the second Luchos were given, so it's a day of the re-giving of the Torah. And we know when the Torah was given, it was given ke'ish echad b'lev echad, the united, like one person with one heart. When it was re-given, it was the same idea. And it wasn't just that it was a nice thing that they united to get the Torah, but they had to be united to get the Torah because no one person could receive all of the Torah, because the Torah has different parts for different people. So if you're a Kohen, you have certain mitzvahs, but you don't have mitzvahs that a Yisrael has. If you're Israel, you have certain mitzvahs, but you don't have mitzvahs that a Kohen has. If you're a man, you have mitzvahs that no woman has, but if you're a woman, you have mitzvahs that no man has. At least in my lifetime, I'm hoping no man will ever bring the sacrifice after childbirth. So it's a mitzvah for a woman, not a mitzvah a man can possibly do. So unless you are a man, woman, Kohen, Levi, Israel, wrapped into one, which today may be possible, but under normal circumstances was not, you can't have 613 mitzvahs. You can't have a Torah. So the Torah is only because there's unity and everybody is united and everybody is considered one entity that we can have a Torah. So when the Torah is re-given, it necessitates the unity of the Jewish people, and it's also, therefore, the day that Jews ask forgiveness of each other and come and gather with tremendous unity. That's what Yom Kippur represents. And therefore, the day after Yom Kippur, the day after they achieve the forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf, and we're going now to prepare to build the Mishkan, to bring back that unity amongst the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu gathered them together and unified them. And there are three kinds of unities in the Jewish people. There's Kahal, the congregation, Eda, I don't know what a good assembly maybe, and Yisrael. Those are the three kinds of unities which we'll discuss in great detail in a few minutes. And the Kli Yakar says it very poignantly. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure that the unity that we achieve on Yom Kippur lasted the next day too. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is. Most people on Yom Kippur are very nice, and then the next day they go back to their old habits. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to extend what they gained on this special, the first Yom Kippur, where everybody was united, and they received the Torah, and that united them. And Moshe Rabbeinu united them together by Yakel Moshe. That's the beginning of the Sedra. He gathered them together, congregated them, called Adash B'nai Yisrael, the assembly of B'nai Yisrael, and in order to extend the positive effect of Yom Kippur even to the next day and into the next year and to the future. And this idea is also reflected in the fact that one of the causes, perhaps the major cause of the destruction of the Second Temple was Sinas Chinam, was disunity amongst the Jewish people. So therefore, if you want to build a Mikdash and you want to build a Mishkan, you have to have unity. Since disunity destroys it, obviously unity is what promotes it. And that's why when the Mishkan was built, you weren't allowed anymore to make sacrifices in your own backyard barbecue, your backyard altar. All Jews had to come together and serve God united. So the Mishkan is a representation of the unity of the Jewish people. And that's why immediately after Moshe Rabbeinu gathered them together, the first thing he told them was Shabbos. Because Shabbos is also a day where the Jewish people unite. Part of that is in a very physical way. Shabbos people are not busy and they're not working, everybody separated, but they're all home. And therefore, the Medrash says that they gather together. Nikalim, bebatei knesios, bebatei medrashos. They gather together in the shuls and in the bebatei medrashim, and then it's as if they testify that God's their king. In other words, they're all physically united on Shabbos. The Sfas Emes says that Shabbos and Torah have the ability to unite Klal Yisrael. Okay? And that's why it says that even in a generation where they serve idolatry, like in the generation of Enosh, if they keep Shabbos, God forgives them. Shabbos is a kapara for Avodah Zarah. What does that mean? In the generation of Enosh, they started to recognize the various powers in the world and honor them. They thought they were honoring God because they're honoring the things that he gave power to. Like you honor the emissary of the king as an honor of the king. The mistake was that when the king is there, you don't honor the emissary, only in his absence. And since God is never absent, he's always there, and all these powers are merely emanations from him. It is a blemish in the unity of God to address separate powers as if they are entities to themselves. So, therefore, if you have this idea of seeing not the unity of God, Shabbos will bring you back to the understanding that everything emanates from God. God created everything in the world. All the powers in the world are really just emanations from God, and there isn't a bunch of different things in this world. Everything is part of the unity of God. It will bring you back to the path. Now, the truth is that there are three kinds of unity, and they are Kahal, the congregation, the Eda, and Yisrael. And they correspond to the three donations they gave to the Mishkan. They gave donations, two of them they all were equal in. Rich, poor, everybody gave the same exact thing and the same exact amount. One of them, people were different. Everybody gave as much as they wanted and what they wanted. There were 13 different materials they needed for the Mishkan, and everybody could give as much as they wanted of those materials or which material they wanted. Now, the first one, where everybody was equal, went to the public sacrifices. That is the idea of a kahal, we'll see. Kahal means a congregation. People congregate together to do the same thing together because there's strength in numbers. As the Gemara says, Eino dome, there's no comparison of one person doing a mitzvah or a lot of people doing it together. But they're all doing the same thing. But there's strength in numbers. Barovam hadris melech. The more people doing a mitzvah together, the more honor it is to the king. Because you see that they're all united under that king. So the king has a kingdom that's united under him. And so that's the basic idea of kahal, and therefore it corresponds to the donations they made of the half shekel. Everybody equal, And what did they do with those half shekels? They brought the public sacrifices. That's everybody working together to bring one sacrifice, but it's the sacrifice of the tzibur, the sacrifice of the rabbim, sacrifice of the multitude, of the congregation, right? Not the sacrifice of an individual. It's a communal sacrifice, right? So that is that first idea of unity, right? And that's why we have tefillah b'tzibur, right? Davening with a minyan. Or Talmud Torah b'tzibur, learning Torah together in a communal fashion is much greater than each individual doing that on his own. Okay. Now, so that was the first donation. The second donation went to making the sockets which the beams of the Mishkan were rooted in, that formed the foundation of the Mishkan. Okay, since that would be movable, they couldn't put the beams into the ground. So they made sockets which held up the beams. So sockets were basically the foundation of the Mishkan. That is Eda. A Kahal is more in place, right? The Kahal was where everybody congregates into one place. And what's it called? And it's a congregation. They congregate into one place. That's why Eretz Yisrael is significant to the Kahal. It says that a Kahal is only majority of Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The people outside of Eretz Yisrael don't count, because Kahal means you're in one place together, united. If you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're not part of that. So the Kahal is what's it called? In place. Everybody in close proximity, in the same place, doing the same thing at the same time or whatever, that's the Kahal. Then there is, and that, the opposite of that, is what Haman said about the dispersion of the Jewish people in Golis. Mefuzar u'meforad bein ha'amin. They are scattered and separated amongst the nations of the world. The Mefuzar is the antithesis of Kahal. Kahal is where everybody congregates together. Mefuzar is where they're scattered. So they're not congregated together. They're scattered along the world. They're not in one place in Eretz Yisrael where they're all congregated together. And the Eda, on the other hand, is more of a unity of purpose. The word Eda has a connection to the word Edus, testimony. They all are united by testifying towards the same goals and principles. Or Eda can have a connection to the word Ya'ad. Next time you go to the airport, look at the Hebrew board, and where in English it says destination, in Hebrew it says Ya'ad. Ya'ad means a destination. And Eda is where everybody's going towards the same goal. They have the same destination. They're all going the same place. Okay? Standing in the same line. So that's an Eda. Eda is not necessarily they're congregated together physically, but they are congregated together mentally, in principle, in ideas. They're testifying towards the same principles. Therefore, it corresponds to the donation that everybody made equally to the foundations of the Mishkan. In the foundations of Yiddishkeit, what you have to believe in, the 13 principles of faith, which are 13 is the number of Echad, one. Right? The Aleph is one, and the Ches is 8, is 9, and the Dalet is 4, is 13. So the word Echad in Gematria is 13. So that's why the Sanhedrin is called the Eda. Why? Because what's the purpose of the Sanhedrin? That when there are arguments, to come to a vote and to make one uniform halacha for everybody. And there's a Sanhedrin, we don't have like we have today. Somebody says like this and somebody says this. So somebody's Machmer and somebody's Makel, and you could do like this, and it looks like 15 different Torahs. But when there was a Sanhedrin, everything was brought to a vote of the Sanhedrin. And once it was voted, that's it. You had to do, everybody did the same thing what the Sanhedrin said. It's only in the time of Hillel and Shammai and their students that there became tremendous amounts of arguments, and they weren't settled. And then the Torah became like 2 Torahs, 5 Torahs, 10 Torahs. That destroys the unity in intellectual unity of the Jewish people. So the Sanhedrin is the Eda. It unifies the Jewish people as an Eda because it gives us one unified mode of behavior when it comes to Torah. And that is the opposite of mefored. Mefored means split, not scattered, but split. Split because this one does this way, and this one does this way, and this one thinks this way, and this one thinks this way. That's the opposite. Pirud halavavos, the splitting and separation of the heart. So the opposite of that is an Eda. And then we have Yisrael, and that is the second donation to the Mishkan, when, like I said, when it's going to the sockets, the foundation of the Mishkan. Okay. Then we have Yisrael. Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah. The simple meaning of that, which everybody understands, which I think is not right, because of the big question on it, and that is that just like there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, there are 600,000 neshamos, root neshamos of the Jewish people. There are more than 600,000 Jews. In the desert, there were 600,000 males between 20 and 60. There were youngsters, there were older people, there were women, right? But the root neshamas were 600,000, and everybody had a connection to one of those 600,000 root neshamas. They're like clusters of neshamas. There's 600,000 clusters. And the women, the children, the older people are all part of a cluster. And there are 600,000 distinctive clusters of souls of the Jewish people. So every soul cluster has a letter in the Torah corresponding to it. Very beautiful. There's only one problem. There aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. So you'll say, okay, gematria is, plus or minus one or two. Doesn't really make a difference, right? So how many are there? There are 304,855 letters. Something like that. What? Who counted it? Whoever wrote it in the back of the chumash. Let me just check and see what it says here. I think that's the number. Somebody counted it for sure. But the question is, it's not even here. Doesn't have it in the art scroll. Oh, wait. No, I might be the wrong set. Nope, doesn't have it. The art scroll doesn't have it. Oh, wait. Yes, sir. 5,845, no, verses. That's a second. No, that's verses. How about the letters? Doesn't say. It's 304,000, I think, 855. So, if that's the case, we are missing about 300,000 letters from the 600,000, which isn't plus or minus one or two. So unless we have the Reader's Digest condensed version, something's wrong. Therefore, I think it doesn't mean that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. It doesn't say that. It spells Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah, spells Yisrael. Okay? But it only would spell Yisrael if the last word is La Torah, to the Torah. If it's in the Torah, it would have to be Ba Torah, and it wouldn't spell Yisrael, it would spell Yisra'ab. So in order to spell Yisrael, it has to read Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios La Torah, which means, I think, the following. There are 304,000 letters in the written Torah. But in order for that Torah to be complete, you have to add the 600,000 extra letters that are the souls of the Jewish people to make it complete. That's what it means. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah that have to be added to make the Torah complete because Yisrael, the Oraisa, the Kudsha Brich Uchadu, because the Jewish people and the Torah and God are one. So without the Jewish people, the Torah is not complete. So you have to add the 600,000 neshamas of the Jewish people to the Torah to make it complete. That's what it means. Now, and that, in this area, not all letters are the same. Every letter is different. And even though there are only 22 or 26 different letters, but every letter is different because of its place, right? What follows it, what comes before it, what book it's in, what sentence it's in. So that makes it unique. Every letter is unique. And therefore, every Jew is unique in his contribution, right? But everybody can be doing something different, but it all is for the same purpose, right? And it all focuses around the same place. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, we had the Golem. Every Jew had his flag. Every Shevet had its flag, right? Special, unique qualities, abilities, capabilities, purpose, function, vocation. But those flags were only after the Torah was given and the Mishkan was built. Then they had something to unite all those different things around. But that is the third nation to the Mishkan. All the various materials that went into building the Mishkan, some went for the Aron, some people are like the Aron, they sit and learn Torah. Some people are like the Shulchan, the people who earn a living. Some people are like the Mizbeach, the people who are called upon to sacrifice. Everybody has a connection to a different part of the Mishkan and a different material in different amounts. Everybody's unique. But the Maisa, there were 13 materials, which means they all united, and they all, or everybody's different flag, but they all were around that one unifying force of the Mishkan. Until you have that unifying force, you can't have different flags. Once you have the unifying force, all the different flags, that's what unity really is. It's interesting that Purim is the holiday that most reflects unity of all the holidays. Right? We were, what's it called, everybody's united and friendly, and we give out presents one to another and to the poor. Right? The opposite of what Haman said, the Jewish people were scattered and separated. Purim brings us all together. But isn't it interesting that Purim is the only holiday where all Jews don't celebrate on the same day, but some on the 14th and some the 15th? But that's unity. Unity is not where I can condone, I can get along with people doing the exact same thing as me. Unity is where people do different things and yet they do it together. They do it with the same purpose. Right? In fact, that I think is the purpose of Shalach Manas. Right? I learned this lesson in a very extreme way. I was once invited to a Pidyon HaBen, and the family that was making the Pidyon HaBen were Moroccans. And somebody warned me before I went that Moroccans love to eat hot, spicy foods, and Americans, even though there's only a small difference between Moroccan and American, right, one little aleph, Americans, most of us can't stomach that kind of hot, spicy food. So I was warned to watch out what I eat there. So I went to the hostess, the mother of the baby, and I said, you know, you asked me to come special for this. It was a long trip or whatever. She was our kindergarten teacher in our moshav, and I said, you know, I was told that you people like hot, spicy food, so could you do me a favor and every portion, course that's served, I'll look over to the women's side, and if it's hot and spicy, point down like this, I'll know not to eat it. She said, no, there's no problem. You are one of the guests of honor here, and we know that you're an American, and you don't like hot, spicy things. We know what Americans are, and we made everything bland in your honor. So I felt great, but everybody's cursing me out because it's bland in my honor, but at least I could eat. So they served the first course with some fish with some red sauce on it, and I see everybody's eating it like it's water. So I said, okay. So I took a mouthful of this, and before I had a chance to even think, I realized my tongue had disintegrated. And reflex made me swallow this, and I realized that within minutes I was going to be dead. Because my insides were going to be totally... No, really, this is exactly what I thought. I saw my whole life go before me. I felt that, you know, my body is being shipped back to Matityahu. Right? This is it. I was choking on this, whatever it was like fire, right, burning out my neshama. And I must have taken like a liter of water all at once and drunk it down. And they're looking at me and saying, but it's bland. So I realized then that people's tastes are very different. And what one person considers bland, right, somebody else does not consider bland. That's what Shalach Manas is. Everybody has a different taste and a different form of Purim Suda. I guarantee you that the Purim Seudah of Moroccans is not the same thing as the Purim Seudah of Americans, nor is a Chinese Jewish Purim Seudah the same as a Spanish Jewish Purim Seudah, and so on and so on. Hungarian, right, whatever. Everybody has to have their own style. But you have to be willing to take two things from somebody else's style and incorporate it in your meal too. That's Achdus. Achdus is not everybody doing it the same. But Achdus is being able to not condone, what's the word I'm looking for? Accommodate, no.
Appreciate.
Appreciate, or, no.
Include.
What?
Include.
Include, yeah, but it's a better word. To what?
Tolerate.
Incorporate, yeah, or to tolerate, that's the word I'm looking for. Tolerate somebody else's way also. Okay. And therefore, that is the third kind of unity. The third kind of unity is not everybody doing it together, the same thing, or having the same ideas and principles. It's everybody doing something different, but doing it for the same purpose together. And that is the third aspect of the Mishkan, the donation of all the different kinds of materials. Where there, it wasn't the same. Everybody could give what they wanted and how much they wanted. And that corresponds to Yisroel. Yisroel is a few different things. We said Yisrael is Yeshishim Ribiyot Shil Satorah. Right? It stands for the fact that there are 600,000 letters that you have to add to the Torah. And just like the written Torah, every letter is unique and different. Here also, every person is unique and different. Also, Yisrael is Yashar Kel, straight to God. Everybody has their own individual relationship with God, insofar that there are mitzvahs. Everybody has the same mitzvahs. But when it comes to the aesthetics of the mitzvah, right, that's a very individual and subjective thing, right? Hidur mitzvah, how to enhance the mitzvah is subjective and aesthetically different from every person. Right? Everybody has to have a Hanukkah menorah that has eight things and a place for candles or oil or whatever. That's generic. But what it's going to look like, if it's going to be something that is, you know, antique or something that's modern, or that's a person's taste. So this place to enhance a mitzvah, that's called hidur mitzvah. That's called enhancing the mitzvah. The enhancement is very subjective and very individual. The foundation is the same for everybody. So that's one area where people can show their individuality in hidur mitzvah, in the beautification of the mitzvah, in the enhancement of the mitzvah. That's yashar kel. And then Yisrael also means ki sarisa im Elohim v'im anoshim v'tuchal. You fought with angels and with people, and you persevered. Everybody has their individual challenges in this world because everybody's different in their personality. So what is a challenge for one person, not a challenge for another person? Everybody has their individual midos, character traits, personality, and that's where people have individuality in how they approach Torah. What is a challenge for them? What's not a challenge for them? What their challenges are, what their fights are in this world with their Yetzirah, what everybody's Yetzirah is different because their personality is different. And that's really what the Pasuk says, Zekeli the Anvehu. This is my personal God. There's a place for individuality in Judaism. Your personal God. Where is that? Va'anvehu. Anvehu means three things. I will build a mikdash. Every person has a different connection to the mikdash, different kelim. Some people, the Aron, the Shulchan, the menorah, like we said. The second meaning of Anvehu is Ani Vahu, me and him, meaning God's character traits. I have to emulate his character. In character, people are different. Personality, they're different. And there's an individual relationship to God because of my specific personality. What are the challenges in life that I have to face? And lastly, Va'anvehu is Hidur Mitzvah. I will beautify him. Those things are all in beautifying and bringing out the diverse, beautiful rainbow of what Judaism is, where everybody has their individual part. That's that aspect. But then, okay, Aviv, I remember, but it's all the God of my father, right? And it all has to stem from the same unity. In fact, the word Yisrael is the unity of all the Avos and Imahos names, right? All the names are hinted to in Yisrael. How so? The Yud is Yitzchak and Yaakov. Start with Yud. The Shin is Sarah. The Reish is Rivka and Rachel. And the Aleph is Avram. And the Lamed is Leah. So all the names of the other Simos are in Yisrael. That means that it all stems from the same unity. So even though Yisrael is the diversity of the Jewish people, but it also represents that it all stems from one unity, from the same Avos and Imos. It all has the same tradition. So that's Elokei Aviv Aromimenu. In beautifying God, the beauty is the individuality of everybody doing their unique thing together. But the making God the king, Aromenu, exalting him, comes from the unity of everybody doing the same thing and having the same roots or whatever, the same principles, the same working together, doing mitzvahs together, right? That's the first two kinds of unity where everybody's equal, but it's enhanced by the third kind of unity where everybody's different, but they work together. And that's Yisrael, and that is opposite Bein Ho'amim, that when the Jewish people are all together in Eretz Yisrael, so then they can, each one can be his tribe with his degel, with his flag, and have individuality. When we're in Golus, right, then we have to, like, you know, when we are threatened by the nations of the world, then we have to, you know, like, put the stagecoaches around, and everybody has to pretty much toe the same line, because then it's dangerous to be out on your own. So sometimes in Golus, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, Jews have to be more uniform, more conformity than individuality, because we're stuck amongst nations of the world, and there everybody doing the same thing gives peer pressure and protection for everybody else. So okay, and that's why there are three functions to the Beis HaMikdash. Two of them represent the two unities where everybody's the same, and the third one represents the unity where everybody's doing their own thing. And that is, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was that people should be able to come Aliyah L'Regel, to congregate three times a year, and all the Jews unite and come to see God as one people. That is called the Har. The Avraham Avinu saw the Beis HaMikdash as a mountain. The mountain is where you were set en masse, congregate together to see God. That is the first function of the unity, everybody congregating together, doing it together, strength in numbers. That's the mountain aspect of the Beis HaMikdash, and the idea of congregating and coming together three times a year for the pilgrimages. Then there is the Sode. The Yitzchak Avinu saw the Beis HaMikdash as a field, a fertile place to develop things. That's the sacrifices. The sacrifice is everybody doing the karbanos together, right? That's the idea of congregating together. The Aliyah L'Regel is coming up the mountain and coming to see God with everybody having the same destination. That's the Eda. And the Kahal is everybody bringing one sacrifice that's a communal sacrifice together. And then lastly is the Bayis. Yaakov Avinu saw the Beis HaMikdash as a house, a home. A home is made up of many different components, right? Many different roles. That's why a mishpacha is called mishpacha. It comes from the word nispach, attachments. An attachment means, in a family, you learn attachments. How parents are to treat each other, how parents are to deal with children. The attachments between different functions, different roles. Children to parents, parents to children, parents within themselves, siblings. That's why a mishpacha is all different kinds of attachments. It's a place where you learn how to function in the big society, in the macro, is from the small society of the micro, of the family. So therefore, what's it called, the bias aspect of the Beis HaMikdash is all different roles, but they're all one family. They're all under that, and that is the aspect of the Beis HaMikdash being the continuation of Torah, the place where God gives the Torah. In the first Beis HaMikdash, right, it was through the prophecy was given there. Second Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin, the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Mishkan was the continuation of God's giving the Torah. He came on Har Sinai and he continued it in the Mishkan. Torah is all different roles. but it's all one. So that's the aspect of the house, the home. Home also, it's all different roles, but it's all one family. It's all one. And therefore, Shabbos also plays a very important part in this. Because in Shabbos, where you're not allowed, when you can do malacha, everybody does something different. Everybody has a different vocation. Everybody has a different function. But when you can't do anything, then everybody's the same. They're all the same in not doing what they normally do. And that's why it says don't burn fire, specifically. It mentions the fire. Because the fire is the most diverse malacha. Planting, everybody plants the same. Plowing, everybody plows the same. But when you make a fire, you make it for the sake of doing different things, different functions. The fire serves the industry, but every industry is different. And the fire itself represents many, many different facets. That's why you make a borei ma'orei ha'esh in the plural, because fire has different hues to it. There's red, and there's blue, and there's green, and yellow in a fire, in a flame. And also it has different functions. Fire is for heating, for cooking, for melting, right? Fire has many, for light. So fire has many functions, too. So it's not one monolithic thing. Fire is made of many different parts in the flame. It has many different functions, and it's used for many, many different functions. So fire represents the diversity of the Jewish people. On Shabbos, don't light that fire. Gather together. On Shabbos, you strengthen the unity where everybody's the same. In order to be able to, then, when everybody's doing diverse things, at least they're doing it united. It doesn't separate that unity. And that's why Lo Sevaru Eish also hints to another thing. Don't burn the fire of Lashon Hara and Machlokas on Shabbos. You're not doing anything. Don't get embroiled in arguments and in Lashon Hara, which destroys that unity too. And that's why it says, B'chol Mosh Voseichem, in all the places where you could be diverse and separated, Shabbos, everybody comes together, comes to shul, gets together for shiurim, and it's a time of unity to strengthen the unity that when in the week, everybody's doing their diverse things, they're doing it at least around that unifying force. Okay, that is pretty much the reason why, before they built the Mishkan, and as a atonement for the sin of the golden calf, we needed this Vayakel Moshe es kol adas b'nei Yisrael to bring together all the different kinds of unity amongst the Jewish people, the Kahal, the Eda, and Yisrael.